The thought is, which way? That's the title of the message. But the thought is, which way is God's way? So we have the man here looking, and he's trying to decide which is the right way. And we want to establish by the word of God what it takes to go to heaven. You know, last week we talked about home. We talked about heaven. But there is a way that goes to heaven. And I was listening to a message, Brother Michael's message said something about does all roads go to Rome or something like that. Well, we can think about does all ways, all paths go to heaven. We have a lot of people in our world and in our time that are claiming to be going to the same place. They'll say, well, yeah, we're all going to the same place. Are we? Is the road we're on going to take us to heaven? Are we all going to the same place? That's the question we want to have in our minds this morning. And what does it take to go to heaven? Well, one thing we want to establish, there's only one way. Some people might feel like you go, my mother used to say a little nursery rhyme, something like, you go the highway road, I'll go the low road, and I'll get to something before you. In other words, we're all going to go to the same.
You take the high road, I'll take the low road.
Mm-hmm. And we'll all go get, but I'll get to, what is it? I can't remember. But anyway, otherwise, we're going to all get to the same place. I'll get there before you because I'm taking the low road. But that is not really what is true as far as the scriptures are concerned. Because Jesus established only one way to heaven. And he made it plain. And so we want to look at that. Because I say I know the man, I have a lot of people say that. I know the man. He's, you know, or the Lord and I have we have an understanding. All of these are people's ideas of the way it's going to take to be accepted with God. But when we look into the Word of God, it gives us a clear path. See, on this, with the man is standing there and he's wondering which way to go. He looks kind of happy like he knows, but in reality, he's got a question mark over his head. Which is the right way? Which way is going to lead to heaven? Well, let's go to Jeremiah 6, starting at verse 16 to 20. Everybody that claims to know Christ is not going to heaven. And there's going to be some disappointed people. They're going to feel like that they're going and they're okay. But in the end, it's going to tell if they are or not. We don't want to wait till the end of our life to measure up and to make sure. We want to make sure of our path and our feet right now, today. Not tomorrow, not next month, but today. Are the things that I do, is the path that I'm going to lead me to heaven? Because you see, life is very short. Eternity is very long. There is no end to it. And once we get there, all our chances of making any changes or doing anything different or making sure of where I'm going, that I'm going the right way, will be gone. My heart is saddened when I see people going out into eternity without God, their chances are gone. And my heart is even more concerned because I have loved ones that are not making sure of the way they're going. They're satisfying themselves in I know the man, or in what they think is the right way.
Maybe that's what the question mark is.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "What? Maybe that's the question mark. Maybe that's the family you keep.
Yeah. And so many, many people we have that we know that we want to see them look into the Word of God and really know the right way to go. Not think I got the right way. I think I got it together. But know for surety. What's the scripture?
Okay, this is Jeremiah 6 chapter and the 21st.
No, 6 and 16 to 20.
Okay, 6 and 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, who is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it.
20.
To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me.
You see, there are people in this world that are doing a lot of good things in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. But he says that your offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifice sweet to me. We don't want to be in that state. We don't want to be in a state of where we're working hard, doing this and doing that, and in the name of the Lord, and he doesn't count it, and it's not acceptable. But you know, we don't have to, because God has made it plain in his word what to do, which way to go. The man here on the board, he's looking at these two paths, and he's wondering which way to go. There are two major paths, one that leads to heaven and one that doesn't. But there are a lot of people on that doesn't meet road that's going their own different way. So if you look at the way that doesn't go to heaven, you're going to see a lot of, you know, offshoot roads, so to speak. A lot of different things that they do in the name of going God's way. Let's go to Proverbs 14 and 12. So we can't trust in our ways, our ideas, as the right way to go. We must look to God for directions. You know, a lot of people feel like, I got this. I know the man. And I know what he wants. Do you? Do you really know the man? Do you really know what he wants and what he's expecting us to do? Let's read on.
Okay, Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
It seems right. This seems like the right way. I, I think I understand what God wants me to do. Other people might have different ways, but I think I understand God's way and what he wants. That's the seem right way. We cannot depend on the seem right way. We cannot depend on the way we think that God wants us to go. We need to depend on what God says in his word as the right way to go. Proverbs 16:9.
A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Yeah, many of us, you know, we figured out, we think, oh, I can do this. I don't see anything wrong with it. That's a lot of way people think. What this? The Lord doesn't mind that. You mean do this, don't do that? No, God didn't tell me not to do that. Those are the kind of seem right ways. Your mind directs, devises your own way, but God wants to direct our path. So we have to get rid of our way and be willing for God to direct our path. Now let's move on now to Proverbs 19:21.
There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand.
See, no matter how you figure it out and think, you know how to do things, it's going to take the counsel of the Lord that's going to stand eternity. Maybe my idea might stand for a while. It might seem to work for a while. But when it comes to eternity, it's going to take the counsel of the Lord for me to listen to what he says and do it his way. I might have my way figured out, but that's not good enough. We have to go God's way. Psalms 32:8.
32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye.
See how loving and kind the Lord is. He doesn't leave us here to just stumble through life and figure it out ourselves. Sometimes you might have a parent, a child trying to say, Mom or Dad, how do I do this? And the parent might say, figure it out. You know, they want to think, you know, and I've been guilty of it too, because I want them to think, not to depend on me in every step they move. But it's not the same when it comes to spiritual things. Jesus, God didn't leave us to figure it out. He said, I will instruct thee. So he will let us know exactly which way to go and what to do. I appreciate God because he's a loving father. He's not harsh. He's not, some people say, I'm going to give him a little tough love. But he's gentle and kind, and he does everything he can, and he's plain. When he gives you some direction, you don't have to be confused. If you feel confusion, you can be sure it's the devil, because the Lord doesn't lead in confusion. He's very plain about which way he would have us to go. Let's go to Isaiah now, 55:8-9.
Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
I want to compare the Lord with us as a parent with a child. You know, many times we have children that are strong-willed. They got them a mind of their own. And they figure that if I do this, this is the way I want to go in life. And the parent looks at that and he realizes, because he's had experience, that the way that child is going is going to lead to disaster. The thing that they want to choose, sometimes it's teenagers choosing somebody, a girlfriend, boyfriend. And the parent says, they try to tell the child, that person is not good for you. This is the way they live. This is the values they have will lead you the wrong way. But sometimes those children cannot see it. They just feel like, I know, I like this person. I like them so much, they ignore the parents' advice. God says, for my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Sometimes we might think we got it together, but God knows best. There's one song in some book that says, God's way is best, though human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. It's only that our earth-dim vision the truth can never clearly know. So his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God sees the big picture. We only can see so far. There's one scripture said we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But God sees the end of the thing. He knows dangers that we don't know. He knows traps that the enemy has for us that we don't know. So it's very important that we realize that God's way is best. It's important that we realize that he sees things we don't see. And he wants to lead us and guide us in the right way. All we have to do is submit to his way. He said, as far as the, what's the rest, verse 9?
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
You see how far the heaven is from the earth? God's ways are so much higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than ours. So what must we do? We must choose his way. If we go our own way, it's going to lead us into destruction. And think about the little child that you say, don't go out in that street. They don't see anything wrong with it. All they're seeing is having fun out there. I can jump rope out there better. Remember my experience? Don't what? Jump rope in the driveway with all those rocks. I did anyway, and I had to suffer for it. Well, that's like the Lord. He says, don't do something, or he may say, do something. Either way, his way is higher than, it's like the heaven being from the earth, higher than our ways and our thoughts. Let's go to Proverbs. 3:5-6.
Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Look at this. What can we do? We can trust in the Lord. What can this man do here that's standing here trying to figure out which way to go? He can go to the Lord, right? And ask the Lord, what's the right way? What's the right path? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. Our understanding will not lead to heaven. It's going to take God's divine leadership to go to God's heaven. We don't have a heaven to take ourselves to. We have to go to God's heaven. If we want to go to his heaven, then we must listen to him. We must trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. And it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Other words, go to him. If you're not sure of the right way and what to do, go to him. And it says, he shall direct thy path. So we want to go to heaven, don't we? I have not been anywhere that I know of and asked the people if they want to go to heaven. I have been around one person that was an atheist, and that wouldn't be somebody I would ask. But generally, children, adults, and all of us want to go to heaven when we die. If there are people that don't, you know, like there are certain religions, you wouldn't ask that either. But generally, people want to go to heaven. Most of them know that it's two places to go, heaven or hell. And so it's two ways. Heaven, a way that leads to heaven, and a way that does not. Let's go to Matthew 7 and read verses 13 and 14.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
You see that these two paths? One of them is a little narrow. Well, you can't tell too much. But there is a narrow way, and then there is a broad way. And on the broad way, there are a lot of people going. So if you say, well, my friends are going, you better be careful. Because are your friends trying to go God's way? Or are they going their own way? I've heard even people say, kind of make a remark, well, my friends will be there. In other words, if I do go to hell, my friends will be there. That is a sad mistake, because they won't be your friends anymore. Once you get in hell, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine a place without God, without any light of God, all darkness, all anger, and just all kinds of evilness? Oh, we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. So broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in there. Did you read 14?
Yeah, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Straight is the gate. You got to go straight. I remember years ago, there was a young person in Tulsa that got saved. And they asked her about, like, in other words, I don't remember the exact question, but in other words, what does it mean to get saved, you know? And I believe she said, straighten up and fly right. You see, you go straight. When you give your heart to the Lord, you start doing the right things instead of doing the wrong things. Make your path straight. This is the way to heaven. The narrow way is narrow, it's straight, but it's the beautiful way. Philippians 3, 7 to 9.
But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, having not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
You see, Paul had to abandon what he used to, what he was raised up in. He was raised up a Jew. He had to abandon that. He counted but dumb that he could gain Christ. And for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Sometimes we have been trained up. Sin, you can't help. Sin, you must. That kind of thinking. We've been taught that, no doubt. Or maybe other things. Oh, you can do this. It's okay. And yet the word of God is against it. We cannot allow ourselves to hang on to the old things that we even have been taught if they were wrong. So he abandoned them. He just counted it as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He wanted to win Christ. That was his goal at that point. He realized that I can no longer hold on to what I used to believe. I was taught from the chief of leaders, and yet it's not acceptable anymore. In that day, before Jesus, the Jewish religion, so to speak, that was acceptable. But when Christ came, He put that away. It's no longer acceptable. We cannot go back to it. I even hear people talking about being, what they call it? Something Israelite. They have some people that trying to go back and thinking they're a part of that. That's a system that's no longer acceptable. We must attain our salvation through Jesus Christ, not through any other way, not through shaking somebody's hand, not through being voted in, not through somebody putting our name in the book, not through following somebody's ideas. Maybe they say do this or that, and there's no scriptural foundation. That won't stand. The only thing is going to stand is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Psalms 18 and 30. We will be without excuse because the Bible is plain. The Lord will not leave us without knowing just which way to go. We won't have to stay in this state of question. I could erase this question off the mark off the top of this man's head because he doesn't. Today, we no longer have to wonder. Some people don't know and they have to, but we have the word of God and we're going to be without excuse. I'm giving out two scriptures to move along. Psalms 18:30 and Isaiah 30 and 21.
Psalms 18 and 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to go to all those that trust in him.
You hear that? God, as for God, his way is perfect. You know, a lot of people got a lot of ideas, but their way is not perfect. You want to go the perfect way, go God's way. And it said he is a buckler to all those that trust in him. You will not make a mistake by trusting in God's way. If you go your own way, you will make a mistake. You are doomed for disaster, so to speak. But if we abandon our way and go God's way, his way is perfect. All right? Isaiah 30, 21.
Isaiah 30. And 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Yes. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left.
You see, the Lord is good to us. He knows when we might get ready to make a mistake and go the wrong way. We're human, and we can make mistakes. But the Lord will not allow us to without warning us. So you're going to hear that voice behind you. What does it say?
This is the way, walk
ye in it. This is the way, walk ye in it. Thank the Lord for giving us his way and showing us the way to go. Let's go now to Psalms 25 and 4. You know, if you're not sure of the right way, ask. We have the privilege to ask the Lord, what is the right way? Some things we might know is right. This is sin. This is wrong. This will lead to destruction. And then there may be some things we're not sure of. We can ask the Lord, and he can give us a clear direction. What is the right way?
Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy paths and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day.
Show me thy way, O Lord. Go to the Lord. Ask him. Show me thy way. Teach me thy way. Lead me in the right path. And he is so loving and so kind. He will not leave us in darkness, but he will give us the right way. Now, I'm going to read Psalms 119 and 15. And it says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Do you know we need to have respect unto the way of the Lord? We need to appreciate that he gives us the right way. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The word is the way to go. We have the word of God. We are responsible for the way word of God. Deuteronomy 8 and 6. We need to obey his commandments. This is God's way.
Deuteronomy 8 and 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and fear him.
This is what we do. Keep his commandments and walk in his ways and fear him. This is the way, this is the right path. No other way can we do it. Let's read, now I'm going to read Psalms 119 and 1-6. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. This is the way to go. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. We won't be ashamed when we have done what God told us to do in his word. Now let's go to St. John 14 and read verses 1-6. It is obedience to his commandment. That is the way to go. We read the word of God, and the word of God tells us this. Blessed. If you really want your life to be blessed, and you're going to be blessed in this life and in the life to come, it's going to take walking in the way of the Lord, obeying his commandments, doing what he tells us to do. St. John 14, verse 1-6.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him,
No, that's good enough. Okay, so he's saying that don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. We will have the opportunity, if we walk this way, to have a mansion in heaven. But we must walk his way in order to get there. And he said,
whither I go, you know.
And the way you know. That's what I wanted to. Where I go, you know I'm going to heaven. And the way you know. He's going to let us know his way. He helps us to understand which way to go. And it's such a blessing to do that. Well, let's go now. I'm going to move on. And let's read Matthew 7, 22 to 26. You know, God has one way. And all these other ways are ways of man. We cannot afford to just follow behind some man. Some man tell you do such and such. Or some man tell you that you can do this or you can't do this or you shouldn't. Don't listen to it. Listen only to the Lord. Yes, we have leaders. But if they teach you the word of God, you listen to that. But then if they're teaching you their ideas and opinion, you don't listen to that. Matthew 7:22-26.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, but it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
So you see, if we do not obey the word of God, we do not obey what Jesus tells us in his word. It's just like building your house on a sand. And of course, you know the destruction, and it's really a disaster building a house on a sand. Because when the rains come and the floods blow, the troubles of life and everything, it falls. It will not stand. We want to build our house on something solid. And the solid Jesus Christ is the foundation. And we will build, when we build on Jesus Christ, we're building on something solid and that's going to stand the test of time. And then I think about these people that come at the very, on verse 22, they said, Lord, read that one again.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?
And he said,
and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
No matter how many good works we do, or how many good things we do, it's not going to count. It's going to be this disappointment in the judgment because iniquity is sin. If we are committing sin, all our righteousness, one scripture says, that's filthy rag. So we're going to be disappointed. There's going to be a lot of disappointment pointed people in the judgment. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't want to be one of them. Let's go to Galatians. Now, we want to look at the things that will cause this disappointment. People that feel like they are right, but then they have these things in their life. Galatians 5 and 19.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Do you see? We can take our lives and look. Are we doing any of these things? And not only so, it say, and such like. Things even related to them. If we are, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And when Jesus said to them, I profess to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are the things that he saw in lives of people who had professed to have a good profession, had professed to be living right, but they were committing iniquity, committing sin. 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6.
Verse 3 to 6. And hereby we know that we know him, and if we keep his commandments. He that said, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that said he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walketh.
Yes. And then there's, I think, 2 and 5. Read that one, too. You read it, right?
Yeah. But whosoever keepeth his word in him.
Yeah. Well, there's another scripture. I don't know. I might have written it down wrong. That was good. But it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of the life is of the world, not of the Father, but of the world. And it goes on to say the world passed away, and the works say, and I think. But sometimes you say, well, I think I do everything right. Do you love the world? Are you participating in the world? He that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So all of these things can get us turned away. I want to go to one more scripture. I'm going to read it. It says, it's Revelation 20 and 12. Say, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were all were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We do not want to that to happen to us. This is the way it's going to look in the judgment. My life is going to be weighed on the scales of the books of the Old and New Testament. We are going, our life must balance with the Word of God in order not to be cast into the lake of fire. Also, there's another book, which is the book of life. When I give my heart to God and repent of my sins, God writes my name in his book. If my name is not in that book, I will not go to heaven. I will not be accepted. So we want to make sure that our lives, on the one hand, balances out with the Word of God on the other hand, and that our name is written in the book of life. Pray for me.